Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
It's a start. I know everybody's asking an update with Diggs. Unfortunately, he tore his ACL, so he'll be out for the year. Really hurt. Hurts our team to hear that news. And he's been such an important part to our team, and it's everything that he bought, not only on the field but off the field, the energy, the leader, like the way he worked every single day. He brought a lot to our team, and we have to pick up the slack. A lot of guys have to step up, pick up the slack, but you know, definitely praying for him to have a speedy, successful recovery. It's definitely a blow to us.
D'Amico Ryans, Texans head coach, yesterday, sharing the news that I think we all feared, that Stephon Diggs didn't look good on Sunday, and then holding out hope as the week kind of moved along and dragged on that, hey, maybe it's not as bad as we think. Nope, it is. It was a torn ACL, and Stephon Diggs done for the season. So bad news yesterday. You got to get right back on that horse, though, because it is a Thursday night game. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, the horse shows up early. Everything feels weird today. It feels kind of like a Friday. I was wondering why Captain Mickey wasn't on. You guys get an extended pregame show tomorrow, basically 7 hours, because we'll do 4 hours in the morning, and then Sean's going to MC a Halloween costume contest. That's not sarcasm. That's true.
No, that's up here. You won't get to watch that. That'll be
right. You won't. Well, somebody might stream it, and then we got the pregame show tomorrow, Thursday night football. And yeah, look. Luckily, you broke the news with the fake Adam Schefter account.
Fake
yesterday,
Schefter wound
24
up being
hours
right.
Ago.
Yeah, he wound up being right.
Right. Yeah. That it was probably an ACL, and it turns out it was so. Long term, I don't know. Maybe this means Stephon Diggs comes back at a discount next year, but whatever. The big question is, all right, Xavier Hutchinson, John Metchie, everybody else, Tank Dell, obviously, versus some very good cornerbacks for the New York Jets. And likewise, on the other side of the ball, there's questions. I guess, offensively and defensively, the Jets have big names. And the record is what it is, but I don't think this is a hard game to get up for, especially without Diggs, where guys are going to realize, wow, we're really under the gun here. And you look at the Jets roster, and there's stars and potential galore. They just haven't performed that way. But I don't think it's a hard one to get up for, even on a Thursday night.
No, you lost there last year. You were embarrassed there last year. It was your worst loss of the season.
Humiliated.
It was your worst loss of the season on the scoreboard, and Zach Wilson had his greatest day as a pro. Now, Zach Wilson's not involved anymore. It's whatever version of Aaron Rodgers this is. Is it quarterback? But
yeah,
it shouldn't be a hard game to get up for. The Diggs news yesterday, you could tell, man, like between D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud, it took some starch out of him, man. And I thought this, Seth, back in during training camp, watching Diggs operate, and it felt like everybody was asked every day about Diggs' leadership because he was so present out there at training camp. He was so, you could feel him out there, you know what I mean? Like, he was walking around and he was doing his thing, coaching up teammates. His personality was very, very evident, and to the point where, you know how I am, I can't live in the moment. I'm always looking a month ahead, a year ahead, and I'm watching Diggs at training camp and I'm going, man, if this is just a 1 year thing, you're gonna feel his absence next year. I mean, they talked about it up in Buffalo in training camp this year, like, for all the drama that he brought, you feel his absence. I just didn't think it would be in week 9 that we would be talking about this.
No, you know what I mean? No, because he's been really, really durable.
Yes.
And yet, this is why people are, he's an aging wide receiver. It shouldn't be a huge surprise whenever an aging anybody starts getting injured more often. That's one of the risks you run when you trade for veterans.
Yeah.
I mean, the injuries amongst all ages, but for a guy that's been very, very durable in his career, this sometimes happens. So I don't regret the trade at all. I think it was a good move. I think that they haven't been able to capitalize on everything that could have been, especially when all three of those receivers were out there on the field together for a variety of reasons, but it had nothing to do with it. Had like any of that stagnancy had nothing to do with Stephon Diggs' personality, leadership, anything like that. He was a definite plus in terms of, I think, culture. The people probably be surprised to learn that people in Houston think Stephon Diggs helped the culture. I think he was good for the culture. He's, as everybody says, he competes his butt off. Remember, you're on a team where C.J. Stroud thought last year that what a vet like Laremy Tunsil does is nothing extra. That's what you just kind of sit around and do your thing. Well, no, guys like Joe Mixon and Stephon Diggs bust their butts in practice.
Yes.
So for that reason alone and in establishing a culture, and then for the relative risk of him getting injured, that was all factored into it, and I'm glad he was on the team.
I am too. You know, there'll be people who parse out, was it worth a second-round pick? Did you get a second-round pick out of this? I'm with you. I have no regrets about the trade. That's all I care about. I hope he's around the team still as the season goes on. I hope he's on the bench on Sundays. You know, I don't know what the – you know, if you have a torn ACL, probably keep him away
from
the sideline.
It's hard. It's funny. Before you – sometimes with an ACL, it doesn't – It's kind of embarrassing almost because you have an ACL, but then you can walk around fine and everything. Your knee is loose and you can feel you can tell that you cannot do anything.
Yeah.
But you're walking around and people are like, hey, you look great. And you're like, what do you mean I look great? Oh, you think I'm a wimp? You think I'm a wimp? You think I could be out there?
No, you're just a fast healer, okay?
No, but that's before the surgery.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So sometimes with an ACL, they wait for the swelling to go down and everything, and you try to strengthen and keep your knee steady before you have the surgery, and then afterwards is where it gets tough. So I could honestly expect to see Stephon Diggs maybe around for the next week or two, depending on what he's going to do with his surgery. But then after the surgery, that's where it gets tricky.
Yeah,
it's just a pain in the butt to be in meetings or on your feet or anything.
I just hope he's around the team. Everybody you talk to, he's been a good influence in that building. And here's C.J. Stroud, who was pretty busted up about it yesterday. I thought he was very down about it. This is him talking about the leadership that Diggs brings.
Yeah, it's impacted us huge. You know, it's Steph has, you know, been somebody who, you know, you can lean on as a friend, as a teammate, as a brother. Somebody who gives you life advice, you know, and just somebody who's just an OG, just a vet, you know, that, you know, has played a lot of ball, you know, and lived a lot of life, you know. So I feel like, you know, if he's still around, he'll still be able to do those things. And, you know, it's just not fortunate for him, you know, that he had to go through this.
Okay, so
the things that don't hit the stat sheet, Sean, are mm-hmm. the times that Stephon Diggs leaned over to look at what tweet CJ was drafting,
mm-hmm.
and Stephon said, "Hey, you know what, CJ? Maybe don't do the side eye emoji there at Bryce Young,
right.
or just something like that. You know, I've been there, man. I've been there.
Yeah.
Maybe don't. Hey, CJ." Maybe don't randomly treat FOH and then with no comment about anything or anything else. It's just like, yeah, let's let it go.
Yeah.
So that's been invaluable in that regard.
Looked over and said, that's a lot of crypto that you're investing in right there. Maybe not, CJ. Maybe not.
Are you sure you want your name on that after party invitation?
That's
I don't think.
Right. So
I know that's your junior high school classmate, but I don't know, man.
Easy.
They're having it at a morgue that they don't have actually legal access to. No, don't do it, CJ.
Don't do it. Yeah. So will he be around for advice like that moving forward? We hope so. So now it's time for the others to step up. Here's CJ Stroud on John Metchie and Xavier Hutchinson.
Metch and Hutch are two guys, you know, that, you know, Metch is considered in year three, but, you know, his rookie year was kind of last year with us. And, you know, I believe, you know, he's playing really good ball. You know, he made some big plays last game and, you know, is somebody who I just think needs his ops. And, you know, he'd be able to do a lot. And I've been able to spend a bunch of time with him. One of my best friends on the team, as you guys know. So, and Hutch is the same way. You know, Hutch is somebody who I came in with. I've been throwing routes on air with him for, you know, 2 years straight now. And, you know, I think, you know, our connection, you could see it last week grow and he'll continue to do better. So I'm excited to see those boys get the opportunities.
Okay, so a question on my podcast yesterday that I was kind of workshopping on there. Like, somebody asked the question, and I was kind of going through the answer in my head as I'm answering it on the podcast, so I want to bounce this off of you. Most of the snaps at wide receiver last game went to Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell. There's obviously all of Steph's snaps are available now there. Who do you think gets, like, Metchie, Xavier Hutchinson, Robert Woods? You got multiple tight ends.
Yeah.
How do you think they fill that void?
It's just, I don't know.
Specifically, Thursday.
It's a boring answer. It's like by committee. It's all of them.
It's the
tight ends especially.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, Joe Mixon as an outlet. Mm-hmm. Like all these things that they've been talking about that CJ's starting to really click with, I think, is that, and this is the exact same thing that Pat Mahomes went through a few years ago. Tyreek Hill's last year in Kansas City when teams decided to just take the top off the offense and everything. That was good. Even now without Nico Collins, teams aren't necessarily going to play that way, but CJ's really had to learn to take some of the easy money and distribute it underneath. They've got to get the ball to the tight ends. They've just got to distribute it more. I think that Xavier Hutchinson is the guy that most seamlessly fits in and is already ingrained in the offense.
Yeah.
And so I think that he probably gets the majority of the targets because CJ's got a trust level with him and that he hasn't been able to forge yet with John Mechie. But I do think that, look, the Jets play a boatload of man, and they've got really good cornerbacks. So this week, I think it's the tight ends and the running backs that you end up seeing get way more active.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I'm with you on Hutchinson and where he is kind of in the pecking order. I feel like functionally, maybe especially early on, that Robert Woods is the one that kind of fills what Diggs was actually doing for this team. Like Diggs had 47 catches, 31 of them were for first downs. Like Diggs was an underneath chain mover for this team more than he was anything else. So my feeling was, I'm with you, Hutchinson's going to get more snaps. There's no question about it. I just felt like, man, for like what optically Steph was doing for this team, like you saw Woods do it twice in the game on Sunday against who the hell did they play? The Colts. Had a couple chain movers. So, yeah, that'll be one of the more intriguing things in this game tomorrow night is who fills that void and how do they do it? There's definitely a void being left, for sure.
Yeah, I think Dalton Schultz gets 7 receptions.
Okay.
I don't know what the futures are on for him or anything, but I'm going to take the over on Schultz.
That would be over whatever the total is for receptions for him, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he's probably like 3.5 if I had
to guess. Been targeted that many times in a game. He just didn't manage to come down with it.
It looked better in the last game for Schultz. He looked good.
Well, I got to break it down and see how much he was actually in pass protection last week versus the week before.
Yep.
And some of the things that I'll tell you what, it's really good that Robert Saleh got fired because, look, Saleh's got so much experience against Bobby Slowick individually in practice and everything. Like, all these things that, some of the things the Texans are doing right now to make up for the pass protection, Saleh's got answers for that. Ulrich, the new head coach, their defense has sucked since Robert Saleh left, so I don't worry about
him as much. I'm glad you went here because this is where I want to go in the next segment because we're breaking down all these matchups with the Jets and the Texans, and there's one that just, boom, hit me right in the face yesterday. I'm mad it hasn't been brought up, and I feel there is disrespect in the air right now. So we will talk about that in the next segment. You can text us, 713-572-4610. That's the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans.
Payne and Pendergast is driven by West Point Lincoln of Sugarland. On the Southwest Freeway, exit Kirkwood and take the first U-turn at West Airport under the giant American flag.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Texans-Jets tomorrow, 4:15, Texans countdown, 7:15 kickoff. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. So, Seth, in my mind, as I'm going through the game yesterday and starting to kind of, you know, put together some of the preview stuff that I write and podcasts that you and I do on the show and whatever. And maybe it's because the Diggs injury has been a distraction this week. Maybe it's Anthony Richardson's lack of cardio has been a focal point for a couple of days. We'll get to that in just a little bit. He got benched yesterday. Maybe it's because of those distractions.
Offer by his coach.
Pardon me?
Who benched him, himself or his coach?
That's a good question. He benched himself on Sunday. I think the organization then said, you know what? You were right, Anthony Richardson. You should go sit for longer than one play. So as I'm breaking this thing down in my head yesterday, and there's a lot of focus on the star power in this game. For a 6-2 versus 2-6 game here, these two teams, there's a lot of star power in this game, no question about it. And the matchups, boy, the Jets corners versus a depleted wide receiver core for the Texans. The Texans corners versus the Jets wide receivers, that's a fun matchup. The Texans pass rush, what's that going to do to Aaron Rodgers? And then I did the old thing that I do, and I can't believe it took me 2 days to do this, where I look at the faces of the quarterbacks and the head coaches, and I said, my God, Sean, why have I been ignoring the most lopsided matchup in this football game? And I know D'Amico Ryans has taken a little bit of heat lately for some of the answers in press conferences about some of the parts that are underperforming of the Texans right now. We'll get to that. But D'Amico Ryans is a really good head coach. He is and I'm glad he's the Texans head coach, and I hope he is for as long as I'm covering the team and beyond. We might need to bring back our disrespect radar, because the Texans are a 2-point underdog in a game where they have D'Amico Ryans as the head coach, and the coaching situation with the Jets is an interim head coach who has yet to win a game, who didn't know how to throw a challenge flag properly in his debut.
Ooh.
An offensive staff that burns through timeouts like they're M&Ms or Tic Tac. They burned all three of their timeouts in the first quarter of the Patriots game on Sunday.
Including some, plus you add on to that, some delay of game penalties to boot.
Yeah.
The Jets couldn't get out of the huddle at all. Like, the Texans have had some issues with that.
Yeah.
They flat out couldn't get a playoff. Yeah.
So you may be sitting in your car saying, well, that's what happens with a Nathaniel Hackett offense. No, he's not the OC anymore. He's still in the building playing Angry Birds or Candy Crush on his iPad during games, whatever he's doing up there.
Probably DMing Aaron Rodgers during team meetings.
Right.
I'm sure giggling about stuff.
Yeah, he's like, can't believe I'm not your coordinator right now.
You think Sherry likes me?
They replaced him with a guy who got a DUI driving home from the airport a couple of years ago from the charter when he was the Titans OC, Todd Downing.
Oh, I forgot that happened.
Yeah. So that was his replacement. Okay. That was his replacement. Okay, so Seth, this is the staff that the Texans are going against. Janky ass interim head coach who hasn't won a game. Their defense is a headless horseman right now because their DC was basically the head coach that they fired. And they've got an offense that's being run for half the season by Nathaniel Hackett and the other half of the season by this clown Todd Downing. The coaching matchup in this needs to be highlighted here.
I would include two. So Ulbrich, is it Ulbrich or Ulbrich?
I think it's a hard K sound. I think it's Ulbrich.
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 So Robert Saleh gets fired, and then in the ensuing weeks, after they, you know, the first week that Ulbrich was in charge and of the defense and the entire team, they did a pretty good job versus Josh Allen. But then against the Steelers and the Patriots, they allowed passer ratings of 108. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Versus Josh Allen, they allowed a 127 passer rating.
Okay, yeah.
And then against the Steelers, they allowed a 108 passer rating.
That was Russell Wilson, who hadn't played a game yet this year.
So, like, this has been... you know, and then they did a good job versus a relatively good job, despite the fact they lost the game, versus a combination of two quarterbacks in New England. But it's a disheveled mess right there. And the defense, which weren't as good as they had been in the past, but still looked like a Robert Saleh defense, they look like they're falling apart.
Yeah.
So, the coaching matchup is pretty good. No matter how you feel about Bobby Slowick, the coaching matchup right this moment heavily favors the Texans.
Heavily. Yeah. And they're underdogs in this game. I just feel disrespect.
The only thing I'd say, Sean,
is
that you like to do that thing where you actually put the pictures of the quarterbacks and the head coaches next
to
each other.
Yeah.
If I actually knew who Ulbrich was, then I would look at that and be like, oh, that guy is either a football coach or he's an Alaskan king crab.
Yeah, a lumberjack.
Captain of an Alaskan king crab boat.
He's got a good
face.
Yeah, he's got a tough face, but he ain't D'Amico Ryans, man. So I just feel like this, the star power on I think what's making the Jets the favorite in this game is they've got big names. They're a talented 2-6 team. There's a lot of 2-6 teams in the NFL right now. They're probably the most talented. Now, granted, the most talented guys on this team with the Jets are all underperforming right now, it feels like. And I think too, like if the Jets had a real kicker, they'd be 4-4 right now. You know, they wouldn't be 2-6.
If you swapped Greg Zuerlein for Kyahmi Fairbairn, the Texans and the Jets look like a much more they look much more comparable.
It's 4-4 versus 4-4, probably.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I feel like the coaching matchup in this thing wasn't getting the attention it deserved, and I wanted to highlight it there. We'll talk more. We'll hear more from D'Amico Ryans a little later in the show. He met with the media yesterday. Big news today, Stephon Diggs out for the season with an ACL. We'll get to that in headlines and at the top of the hour. This was Anthony Richardson on Sunday after the Texans game when he was asked, hey, man, why'd you tap out of a play on third and goal as you guys are driving for, you know, a score in a game you're trailing by 10?
Man, tired. I ain't gonna lie. That was a lot of running right there that I did, and I don't think I was gonna be able to go that next play. So I just, this whole thing, I just needed a break right there.
That's a lot of running on a play where he got sacked on the scorecard.
he ran 9 yards or so, and then went down without a fight. Yeah. And then Jake Hansen's got to be thinking. Yeah, hopefully he wasn't thinking at all, but if he were thinking as he was closing in on it, he's like, all right, this is Anthony Richardson. You're never quite sure what's going to happen. You're kind of just throwing yourself into the volcano and hoping for the best.
Yeah, might get posted.
You know, hoping
might
the volcano gods bless you that day.
Yeah.
And it worked out for him. And Jake Hansen benched him, basically.
Basically. Well, Jake Hansen benched him, and then the Texans got him fired, temporarily at least. Anthony Richardson benched by the Colts yesterday, you and I talked about this quite a bit on the show Monday and Tuesday this week. The Colts are a fringe playoff team right now. They're the 8th seed. Yeah. They're 4-4. They're 4-4, and one of the teams in front of them is the Broncos, which I feel like they're kind of doing it with, you know, smoke and mirrors and whatnot. The Colts, with competent quarterback play, can make the postseason this year.
Right. Right.
And it's not a young team. It's a veteran team. And my feeling had been like, man, if I'm a vet on this team, I'm feeling a little disrespected that we're treating this season like it's a 17-game training camp for a guy who may very well just never turn into an even average thrower in the NFL.
It's the thing that's crazy about it is there's now people rising to Anthony Richardson's defense, which you want to talk about disrespect. These are clearly people that just don't even realize the AFC South exists and haven't watched any Anthony Richardson.
That's right.
They don't understand how far behind this guy is in terms of understanding the game of football.
Yeah.
And that's where somebody asked me yesterday, it's a good question, bonus time on X, asked, defensive linemen, running backs, wide receivers, even linebackers get a break often. Why are we giving a physical playing QB such a hard time? It was just one play. Just curious. So I thought, and off the top of my head, and in 20 seconds, I answered, because over 100 years of evidence tells us that NFL quarterbacks are not wired that way.
Even the
bad ones are not. Nobody's ever seen this before. Nobody's ever seen a quarterback tap out. And guys like Lamar Jackson, Cam Newton, Alex Smith, guys that run a lot, that don't do this. That's part of being the job. Dude. Quarterbacks will tell you sometimes it's hard because you have a long run and you got to get back in the huddle and you got to make the play call. So, like, 100 years plus the NFL has been playing and nobody's ever seen a quarterback say, Coach, I'm tired. Please give me a blow for a minute. When it's third and goal.
In a game you're trailing by 10 against a division opponent on the road. Dude, Jamarcus Russell never tapped out of a game. That's I'll just give you that. Jamarcus Russell, who was heavy and by all accounts kind of lazy. He never tapped out of a game.
I'll give you
Jamarcus Russell was winded running out to the huddle series of downs.
I'll give you another part. He was winded when he ran out of Jolly Ranchers.
Yes.
I just went into withdrawal.
I gotta go to the store?
Look, this is the thing. Above and beyond that, too, it's just simply that he already has a history of missing time.
Yeah.
And people are going to say, well, yeah, but he was injured. Okay, how injured? How injured? Because every NFL quarterback is injured. Every single one of them. Richardson has taken himself out of a game due to injury before and then come back into the game.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very careful and very hesitant to question players' toughness.
Yeah.
I 100% question his actual toughness. I think he might just be a big athletic freak of nature that just genuinely doesn't get it and doesn't understand the NFL. And I would include in this, too, when it comes to the stupid things that got him benched, at the end of the game, he had not a clue in the world that he should be getting out of bounds. This is your quarterback.
Yeah.
Your quarterback.
Yeah.
He didn't have one inkling of trying to get out of bounds in a time when they desperately needed to conserve time on the clock.
If he doesn't do the thing where he taps his helmet and asks to come out of the game, like if he stays in that game and they, you know, whatever, the game ends the same way, but he never tapped out to come out of the game for that play, Is he benched today, do you think? Or is he still the quarterback of the Colts?
I think that was... That slammed the door shut on them saying, well, he's doing a lot of positives and we got to build on those. Yeah. I think the negatives are too large to ignore.
Yeah.
And there's only so much patience teammates and everybody else can have with that when you're doing something that's so egregiously bad for the team.
Yep.
So, yeah, the highlight reel is incredible for them. This is... I'll take a highlight reel of Anthony Richardson's truncated year, and it's probably going to be pretty damn impressive.
Yeah.
You're like, this guy got benched?
QB
what
power.
What the hell are you thinking?
QB power rankings based on highlight reels. Anthony Richardson's a top five quarterback.
Right, and I think that's where a lot of people are basing there. How do you, oh, but you're developing him. Oh, when it's convenient for him? When he chooses to take the reps? Well, that's when he's going to get his development? Oh, when I just, hold on, coach, I'm not quite. He's a freaking Goldilocks.
Yeah.
I just need everything to be just right, and I can't have any kind of owies on my body.
Someone's texting in 5 Hour Energy fan line. He had a design QB run, then 2 back-to-back scrambles. I knew he was tired when he tapped. I don't know if that person's sticking up for Anthony Richardson or not.
I think he's just saying that he knew that. Yeah,
they had multiple plays in a row, and he looked tired, which is all well and good. I'm going to pretend for a second that this texter's sticking up for them. I'm not going after you, texter. But if that is a defense for Anthony Richardson, it's not a defense for Anthony Richardson.
No,
go watch Lamar Jackson. That guy's running five plays in a row. You know,
he actually runs for distance, too.
He does. Not a short sprinter.
He's a middle distance runner.
Yeah. Hey, Will Anderson was on with Will Kunkel. I think he was on Kicking It with Kunkel. Will Kunkel, Fox 26, does really good interviews with local sports figures. And asked Will Anderson, have you ever seen a quarterback do that before? Have you ever seen a quarterback tap his helmet and come out of a game before? Couldn't wait to hear the answer. Here's what Will had to say.
Have you ever seen a quarterback go like this?
Never.
Bro,
never.
So what goes... Did you notice it?
I didn't notice it until after the game and I seen the interview and he said it.
What goes through your mind when he does that, Anthony Richardson taps his head and needs to come out, and then after the game says, like, I was just tired?
Hey, I think it's just a testament to the defense, man.
Yeah.
And how we were pressuring them and how we had them running around. And I feel like that was the whole thing. They was talking about, like, he hasn't been sacked much. And we was like, we got to change that today. Like, this got to be something different. And I feel like everybody took that as a challenge.
Good answer, Will. He made it about the Texans. That was smart.
It was a really good answer. That's good. That's good reframing the question. The question is not that Will Kunkel was trying to, screw Will Anderson over or anything. But the question is very much about Anthony Richardson and Will Anderson, where it's hard to say anything there positive about Anthony Richardson's makes it about, like, okay, it was about our positive effort. Yeah, good job.
Good job,
Will Anderson. Good job, Foley Fatakasi. Hey, if Fatakasi brings him down and Richardson isn't as tired, then maybe he stays in,
throws
a touchdown. Because Anthony Richardson decides to stay in the game as the starting quarterback and throws a touchdown on that third and long goal.
That down was second and goal from the 23. If Foley Fatakasi brings him down, it's like third and goal from the 33.
But you know how I feel about this. As much smack as I'm talking about Anthony Richardson, he still terrifies me on any given Sunday. I 100% was expecting him to get benched at halftime because he was such a mess after that interception. I thought they clearly can't. And yet at the same time, I'm thinking, but I really, really hope they bench him because he scares the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Flacco, if he's going to beat you, he's going to beat you in a way that you can see coming. Whereas Anthony Richardson, it's, he's 0 for 11 on his last 11 passes. And, but then he hit two deep balls that nobody's ever seen before.
We got to talk about the Flacco part of this, too. The Richardson part is getting all the attention. I'm going to jot this down. The Flacco part of this is incredible. We got to talk about it later. Like, Flacco now has a chance to bring a second team to the postseason in the second half of the season.
He's going
to
be screwed out. He's going to be screwed out of the Comeback Player of the Year award this year. whereas last year it was on. You know, people thought, "Oh, great, this guy taking it away from somebody who almost died."
Almost died.
And now this year, people will be up in arms that the new rules won't allow Flacco to be the Comeback Player of the Year.
Yep. All right, let's get to headlines. The big news with the Texans, Stephon Diggs out for the year. We'll dig into that. The injury report, minus Diggs, has some interesting elements to it as well. Trades around the NFL, one that I thought the Texans would be in on this guy, but maybe not. Mm. Obviously not. And World Series updates as well. We'll do all of that in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
It's a start. I know everybody's asking an update with Diggs. Unfortunately, he tore his ACL, so he'll be out for the year. Really hurt. hurts our team to hear that news. And he's been such an important part to our team, and just everything that he bought, not only on the field but off the field, the energy, the leader, like the way he worked every single day. He brought a lot to our team, and we have to pick up the slack. A lot of guys have to step up, pick up the slack, but you know, definitely praying for him to have a speedy, successful recovery. It's definitely a blow to us.
That was D'Amico Ryans yesterday, very beginning of his press conference. The news we all were hoping we would not hear: Stephon Diggs out for the year with a torn ACL. That was D'Amico Ryans. Here was C.J. Stroud about the news.
Yeah, man, it sucks. You know, it's not easy. It's not, you know, something that I just can have a whole bunch of words for. I just hoping, you know, and just trying to just wrap my mind around, you know, what happened. But it's tough. You know, you can't really try. You try to think positively about it, but, you know, it's not a bunch of positive thoughts. And I just really feel bad for him. You know, he's worked extremely hard. He's I think he was having one of the, you know, best times he's ever had on the team. At least that's what he told us, you know. So, you know, I just feel for him and praying for him, you know, and just hoping, you know, that, you know, he keeps his head up high and, you know, he'll bounce back even stronger. So, you know, it just sucks.
So we'll talk more in the 7 o'clock hour about what the absence of Diggs means, where the Texans go from here, both in season and after the season with Diggs. In the short term here, Seth, like, this is it's kind of a really intriguing test here for the Texans, especially maybe the younger guys on the team, like, especially the ones on offense. Like, you got to turn the page quick on this thing, man. Like, you're playing tomorrow on the road.
Right. You know? Yeah, there's no – well, as far as, you know, how the way people handle them in the press conferences and everything, I can promise you there is zero, like, how do we move on? Like, that's just – because injuries happen all the time in the NFL. So, it sucks when it's one of your better players and somebody who's a leader and everything. But there's – like, whether it's a short week or a long week – it's not like they're out there moping around at practice thinking like, oh, I can't believe Steph isn't here. Yeah. That's life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, maybe probably more the adjustment isn't as much emotional as it is like, okay, now we got to operate without this
right,
guy.
Right, right. Yeah. And you know, somebody had asked me this morning whether, does this mean that, he asked that, he phrased the question, does this mean Tank Dell moves back to the slot more like last year? Well, he actually has been in the slot more this year than he was last year. Tank's not a slot receiver. He's been on the outside way more than he's been at slot, and they rotate guys through, and you're always, you know, these days there's just fewer and fewer guys who spend all their time in the slot. So, yes, does he replace some of what Stephon Diggs was doing? Yes. But I don't think there's a cataclysmic shift in the way they operate, other than that CJ is going to continue to have to find the tight ends and running backs more often.
Yeah.
And I think it's not like Xavier Hutchins and John Metchie aren't going to get more targets and more receptions. They will. It's just that there's no direct replacement for Stephon
Diggs. That's right. Yeah, no, he's a great player. And they'll feel it without him. And it puts a lot of focus on that hamstring of Nico Collins. You know, all the good news we're getting on Nico, man, I hope it comes to fruition and he's out there. They need all hands on deck, all available hands on deck for that Detroit game coming up the following week.
And I'll tell you, too, I mean, this is kind of the thing that happens when you've got three wide receivers and everybody's dreaming all offseason of what that might look like. Are they going to have 3,000-yard receivers? Right. No, they're not, obviously. And I think sometimes maybe psychologically the fixation on the offensive players' minds about what a light show it might be. And, all right, yeah, you know, you're telling yourself, well, hey, we haven't done anything yet. We got to figure it out. But there's a bias towards getting those three guys the magnificence where now maybe by a dose of real reality of that this is okay. No, we're composed, comprised like a normal, we're constructed like a normal NFL offense, and we got to operate as such. Don't be fixated on anything downfield or what might be. Just get the ball to the open guy. And sometimes, and I think CJ's been doing a better job of that the last couple weeks. Sometimes it's your check down. Sometimes it's your hot route. Like, you got to manage it the way people that don't have a wealth of wide receivers manage it.
Yep. As far as the injury report goes, the DNPs for yesterday did not practice. Jarrett Patterson, not a surprise, concussion protocol. Damian Pierce, DNP yesterday. I don't know what this means for tomorrow. It's not good. A groin, so we'll see.
Kickoff return extraordinaire.
Well, he is making positive contributions to the team right now, you know?
Were you, last week during the game, there was one point I thought, man, I'm actually kind of grateful for the new kickoff rules because that's been the only exciting thing that's happened so far in this game.
In this game, on both sides, yeah.
The first couple of exciting plays were kickoff returns, and that was about it.
No doubt.
So, yeah, that's look, and this has been now with Damian. I mean,
two injuries now.
He's been injured two this year.
Two soft tissue, hamstring and a groin.
And then he just didn't show up as a player last year, and he got injured.
Yeah,
and the previous year he ended the year on IR. So yeah. For a guy that has a very physical style of running, when he's good and at his best, that's concerning.
Absolutely. Limited in practice, but returning, Azeez Al-Shaair and Jimmy Ward both back yesterday. That's good news. So we may have a... And Henry Toa was full go yesterday again. So might have our...
He's full go unless he comes back with symptoms or something. We should expect him on Thursday.
Yeah, right? Yeah. He's practiced in full the last 2 days. So
did they ask him if he was going to wear a Guardian cap?
I don't know. I don't know if he did any locker
room.
I
think you have to when you're coming back from the concussion protocol.
No, you don't.
Oh, you don't?
No,
okay.
Tua's not wearing one.
Oh, good call. That's right. Yeah. The very reason I asked this question.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Thank you, Sean.
Separate topic. I could see that becoming a thing down the road.
In my mind, I thought, oh, yeah, Tua, that was the question.
I got worried that you were even asking the question.
And
I'm
it was
like,
a
crap.
Story because he wasn't answering. Yes. So, okay. Are there odds on whether or not Henry Toto is going to wear a Guardian cap?
I don't know. So the Jets worked out a bunch of kickers yesterday. That's worth noting. We'll see if Greg Zuerlein, who's been terrible this year, is the kicker on Thursday night. But they worked out like a half a dozen kickers yesterday. Anthony Richardson benched in Indianapolis. We talked about that in the previous segment. If you're looking to trade for a wide receiver, a lot of people, as soon as the Diggs news came out, said, go get Deontay Johnson from Carolina. Literally moments later, Deontay Johnson winds up in Baltimore on a pretty cheapo trade. It was just a Deontay and a sixth for a fifth-round pick, and Carolina's picking up most of his salary, which for those of you Texan fans who wanted Deontay Johnson on this team, I think the paltry amount that he went for in this trade tells you probably everything you need to know about what Deontay Johnson is like behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Like, Carolina just wanted out.
Right.
They just wanted out.
Yeah. And for a team that could use help with their young quarterback, right?
Yeah.
So I think that right now, look, once Nico comes back, is assuming he does, then you've still got a good wide receiving room.
Yes.
You know, and a deep wide receiving room at that. You've got veteran players with experience, especially when you factor Robert Woods into it. I don't think the Rams trade away Cooper Kupp or anything.
No.
So, these are the guys you're going to roll with, most likely for now. Now, the offensive guard is the one spot that maybe something happens.
I got some receiver names for later in the show.
Yeah.
And see what you think of those. We'll get to those. World Series last night could have ended. Dodgers could have swept the Yankees. They did not. The Yankees... they went 11-4 last night to hold
Thanks
off
a lot, bullpen day
to stave off elimination. Yeah, the Dodgers were going with an opener; they were going with a bullpen day. Didn't go well for them. The Dodgers will try to close things out tonight. If the Yankees merely get to a game six, they'll be making history. There have been, I believe, 25 times where a team has led 3-0 in a World Series. Mm-hmm. 21 of those have ended. Something like 21 or 22 have ended in sweeps. There have been three or four that have gone to five games. It's never gone to six games. A team that gets up 3-0, if they don't close it out in game four, then historically they close it out in game five. The big story from this game last night was two Yankee fans early in the game trying to... Mookie Betts went arms into the crowd to catch a foul ball that I believe Gleyber Torres hit. And there were two Yankee fans there, one of whom was trying to like rip the ball out of his glove. The other was holding on to Mookie Betts' non-gloved arm to allow his compadre to keep ripping away. And they practically ripped the glove off of Mookie Betts' hands, and he was dangling there for a second because of those guys. It was crazy.
Yeah. So the guy, Capobianco, and his brother.
Darren Capobianco.
This is the quote from Darren Capobianco. They're both from Connecticut, by the way. I just see the ball kind of, I don't know, want to say, go up for grabs, if that makes sense. And now, then Mookie was swearing at us. Not good.
That's a quote. That's a real quote.
He only said not good once at the end, but yeah.
That's a real quote.
So at least he recognized after the fact that it wasn't good.
The guy ripping at the glove, who I'm guessing that's Darren Capobianco. Are they brothers? Is that what you told me before the show?
Yeah. I don't know for sure that Darren was the guy that was ripping at the glove, They were there. He said that,
Whoever was ripping at the glove, that guy looked like he was out of central casting for a Yankee fan.
Oh,
like,
the big fat, the big heavy fella.
Fat dude in a gray Judge jersey with the, like, a look on his face while he's ripping at the ball, like a maniacal.
It stinks that
look.
They're from Connecticut. It would be better if they were from Jersey or Brooklyn or something.
Yeah.
But, Connecticut's got some really dumpy parts, too. It's not all just fancy manicured lawns like where Sean grew up.
I grew up in the hardscrabble part of Connecticut, man. Simsbury. I told you this. That's mm-hmm. Yeah, I told you about the kid who swung his tennis racket at me that one time.
That's right. You almost got a
decapitated by a tennis racket.
You almost got a carbon fiber bludgeoning.
And a croquet mallet. He had a croquet mallet in one hand and a tennis racket in the other.
Back in your day, it was probably one of those old skinny wooden tennis rackets, right?
Yeah, there was no graphite back then. No.
Yeah.
All right, you can text the show, 713-572-4610. That's the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. Up next, okay, is Kenyon Green still the starter at left guard for this team? Did we get an answer on this yesterday? I want to take a listen to it with you guys.
Ugh.
Did we get an answer from D'Amico Ryans? We'll have that for you coming up next.